When you think about a day like today, hadn't it been just absolutely beautiful? I don't know why, but I kind of think about it. It's pretty enough a day to find a house like your granddaddy's house, look at those rockers that tend to sit out front, and just spend a little time rocking. You know, our lives sometimes become so busy that we don't understand what it used to be like and that we had time to spend it with family on the front porch in those rockers. And you know what I remember? I remember as a little fella how that if my grandparents were there with us rocking, keeping us out of trouble is really what they were doing. It's amazing how that a car could go by the house and they would identify whose car that was and which neighbor it was and what was going on in their life. Now, how did they do that? You know they didn't have Facebook. You know that they were not spending time on the front porch scrolling through their phone, seeing what all was going on in their lives. But that was an aspect of connection. Well, it was that aspect of loving your neighbor and kind of having an idea from what was going on in their life, what was good and what was concerning and how they could help. You know, the book of Genesis really is just a book of neighbors, families. Families that you can look at and recognize that their relationship was all about pleasing God. And there were times they did it well, and we note that, and there are times they struggled, and it's there for us to learn as well. I want us to go, as we're sitting on the front porch tonight, look at Genesis chapter 45, and look at those boys of Jacob. Because when you think about the sons of Jacob, there's for us, especially as they discover that their brother Joseph is alive and is in the most remarkable place of all, and that is as a prince of Egypt, a ruler that has a plan that is in motion to save the lives of all, really, of the world as they knew it in that general area of Egypt. But in this is the greatest example for us of true forgiveness and to understand the love and outpouring that forgiveness has. I'd like for us to look at a couple of things related to this encounter in chapter 45 where he reveals himself. And as he reveals himself, it is an incredible example of forgiveness that I think there are a couple of concepts that we need to apply to our lives. I know I do mine in looking at how to be pleasing to God and things that sometimes hold us back from giving full forgiveness in our life. Joseph, you remember, had been sold into slavery as a young boy. And in that encounter, he was sold to the Ishmaelites as they were traveling toward Egypt and then sold as a slave. And as he was sold as a slave, he found himself in a place in which he did not know the language, he did not know the customs, he truly did not fit in. Probably he tended to be a homebody. But the way that he found himself in the land of Egypt obviously had to be discouraging because it was their brothers who actually considered killing him. That much hatred in their hearts toward him that led to a resolution to sell him as a slave instead. And then being bought by Potiphar and the lies of Mrs. Potiphar led him to be in a pit two times in his life. One being the pit that his brothers threw him in and then sold him, and the other the prison in which led to him because of the lies of Mrs. Potiphar. And it had to be such to where there were many things about his life that were taken away from him that we all could understand. Bitterness was fair game. But that was not the case. He was exalted by God, found favor by God, and found himself to be carrying out a plan for Pharaoh to survive the famine that had hit the land. And that's what actually led his brothers to leave Canaan on the instructions of their father and come to Egypt in order to buy grain and sustain their family. And in that encounter, he discovered that his father was still living. And so he sent his brothers back with certain instructions, and they would come back, and his great desire was to learn and to discover his brother Benjamin that was born of his mother and Jacob. And they have brought him back, and he cannot contain himself anymore as he sees his brothers and hears of the life that they now hold on to in relationship to their father. In verse 1 of chapter 45, it says, Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. And who he's talking about is all of his attendants, all of those that were Egyptians that were serving him. And he wanted all of them to leave, and he's left there with his brothers, and they have no idea who he is. And the Bible says, so no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud, loud enough that the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. They're not in the room, but they hear him weep. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. This is someone that they thought was dead, that they have discovered is alive. And you can well understand, they don't know what to say. Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. And so they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother whom you sold into Egypt. And the most remarkable thing about this is he talks a good bit more about what he desires for them. But I want you to drop down where it says in verse 14. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept. And he kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. This is an incredible example for us to remember the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness reveals grace. Forgiveness reveals compassion. And to recognize that he sees in his brothers now not the same guys. And for his focus, it is such to where he recognizes that the wrong that they had done, that there now is purpose that he sees in his life, and he chooses to forgive. Again, I can't reinforce enough the importance of our life to understand that love and forgiveness comes as we see God. And Joseph clearly is an individual who could see God, and he could see God's favor throughout every mistreatment in his life. Joel 2, verse 13, the prophet said, rend your heart. Tear your heart, cut your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful. God is slow to anger and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. And when we see our sin for what it is, when we see our position in relationship to life, the one thing that Joseph discovered is every step of disappointment that he encountered, God had not left him, God had not forgotten him. Whether we're talking about when he first arrived in Potiphar's house, or if we're talking about the first time he found himself in prison with other prisoners and those that were keeping him, he could see the grace of God, he could see the compassion of God, and he continued to have favor with God. The more we see that in our life, the easier it is for us to have an attitude of love and be equipped to forgive and share the grace that we have experienced, share the compassion that we have experienced. Now, there are a couple of things about forgiveness that I'd like to remind us about. And that is, forgiveness is not always overlooking the wrong. If you notice when Joseph revealed himself, he could have said, I am Joseph. You remember me. You remember what you did to me. You remember how I cried from the pit because I could not believe that what you had done. And not one of you showed your face. Not one of you lowered your hand. Not one of you took any effort to deliver me out. If you go back about the wrong itself. Clearly, not only did Joseph realize what his brothers did was wrong, but they too realized what they had done was wrong. Back up to chapter 42. In chapter 42, when the brothers first arrived to Egypt, Joseph, recognizing his brothers, clearly did not reveal himself, but he announced that they were spies, that they were not worthy of being trusted. And what he did was challenge them in their response and how they saw his father, how they saw God. And so he resisted their smooth plan of coming and just buying and bartering for grain and going back home. And in that resistance, verse 22, well, look at verse 21. They say among themselves, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. For we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy? And you would not listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. This wrong has stayed with them for 22 years. Verse 23, but they did not know that Joseph understood everything they were saying. In Luke 17, verse 3, Jesus reminds us, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. When there is forgiveness to give, it doesn't mean that we're overlooking the fact that there are consequences for our actions. For instance, if we are hurt in a way in which there are consequences, then there's responsibility for that. There is accountability for that. But it is not focusing on the wrong that necessarily is involved with forgiveness. Many a times is what has come between relationships is very clear. And it's not going back and talking about the events and how they led up. But forgiveness is a choice that we have because we are ambassadors for Christ. We have experienced the ultimate forgiveness that is there. And in the same way in which Jesus has treated us, we have the opportunity to love and forgive. Vengeance is not ours. The grudge, all it does is create a ball and chain that many times we are the ones that drag it. But it does not mean we overlook the wrong. But I would tell you the same thing. Blameless usually causes us to hinder giving out forgiveness. Forgiveness is not taking the blame for the wrong. I think one of the things sometimes that we withhold forgiveness for is we feel like that in every scenario there's a winner and loser. A winner and a loser. And if I forgive, it gives a suggestion that I'm the loser. That I was the one to blame. And that's not what forgiveness is about. Joseph could have looked at his situation and said, you know, it probably was best that I didn't walk around with that coat of many colors that Daddy gave me in front of y'all. Chances are, I probably could have handled some of the dreams that I had. You remember those that you kind of bowed down before me, kind of like you're doing now. And I shouldn't have just presented that in a way in which maybe it stirred you up a little bit more than I should. Joseph is not looking at taking the blame as a matter of fact. You know, where he finds himself now is God was preparing him to deal with dreams because his interpretation of dreams by the gift of God is what led him to this position of authority. And that coat of many colors, in some ways, was preparing him for a robe of dignity and authority. And he had the chariot of Pharaoh and the signet ring, you remember? It's not about winners and losers. It's about having the opportunity to show grace, to show compassion, and to allow healing to take place. Joseph, in his relationship, was focused on what he had learned from his father Jacob. And many of the things related to Jacob is very important when it comes to the fact that they're part of a family that have received the promise of God through through Jacob's grandfather, Abraham. And in that, Joseph recognized that everything that he did was about doing it before God, not about keeping score with his brothers or anybody else that had mistreated him. And now, in his life, that list was much longer than just his brothers. You might remember in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said in verse 23, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, how does that apply in real life? Well, what Jesus is suggesting is that if I am holding on to something that is mistreatment that has come my way, and there's an individual that needs forgiveness in my life, because what's happened is I am holding on to that event. I am holding on to that emotion. I am holding on to that grudge. And it is a barrier in my heart for me approaching God. He's saying I need to remove that barrier. I need to remove that which I'm allowing to keep me from becoming full grown in relationship to love and forgiveness. And it's impacting my fellowship with God. And if it reaches that level, I need to understand there's forgiveness that needs to take place. You remember Paul told Timothy about preaching. Timothy, you need to preach in season and out of season. Have you ever thought about what that means? What it means is you need to preach when people are ready to hear it. But you also need to preach when they're not ready to hear it. You give the message the importance that it has, and you preach it when they're ready to hear it and when they're not ready to hear it. I think sometimes we need to recognize when it comes to forgiveness, there are individuals that we may forgive that are ready to accept it, but there are times in which they're not ready to accept it. But that should not withhold us from our part in granting forgiveness, extending forgiveness, showing love that we've learned from God. These guys were still struggling with what they had done with Joseph after all of this time. Look over at chapter 50. It was Joseph's desire to bring his father and the family all to Goshen and enable them to be spared from the famine. And they did that. And then after Jacob and all of his family had come, he actually passed away in Goshen. When that happens, look at verse 15. In verse 15, it says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil. You see that word evil? What they did was bad. For all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, behold, your father died. He commanded this saying, then you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. They sent message to him saying, we're your servants. Joseph responded, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for me, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. When Joseph had offered forgiveness earlier, they didn't accept it because they recognized they weren't worthy of it. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, Paul there told the church of Christ, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Now what Paul tells us there is a pathway about sorrow. Godly sorrow, he says, has good results When we are sorry for what we've done, and we respect that it impacted our relationship with God, then it can produce repentance. And repentance can lead to a right relationship with God. It can lead us to salvation. But not everybody is sorrowful in that way. A second path of sorrow is a sorrow of the world. You know what the sorrow of the world is? Is you confront me about my wrong, and I am sorry because you caught me. That's a sorrow of the world. And he says that produces destruction. I am sorry because I'm embarrassed that what you found out I did, it's a reflection on me. But a sorrow of the world doesn't mean it leads me to righteousness. So not everybody is ready to accept forgiveness and restore their relationship back to God as we're motivated to forgive because of His love. If there's any truth about Joseph and the demonstration that he has of true forgiveness, it's to understand that forgiveness is easier when we see God at work nearby. As a matter of fact, things are in harmony when we see God at work nearby. Go back to chapter 45. In chapter 45, when he revealed himself, he says in verse 6, "For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And He has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." What did he say in chapter 50 when they come and they expected him to now load up and take vengeance on them once their dad had died? "What you did, you was motivated by evil. But I recognize God. God has placed me where I am and that I am here." Do you understand what he's telling them in chapter 45? He's telling them about what we read tonight and the promise that was made to Abraham. That God has put me here because of your evil deeds. It has led me to be in a position to where the covenant God had with Abraham will come true. Because we're going to save lives in the household of Jacob. And we're going to go back to the promised land. And the promises of God will continue to be faithful and true because of what has happened to me and where He has placed me in this time and this opportunity. I wanted to go back to Stephen in chapter 7 that we looked at this morning. And when he talked about Joseph, but he also talked about Moses, he said this about Moses. "This Moses whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and judge?'" You remember when he came out and he was trying to settle things between the abuse that was happening between the Egyptian soldier and the Hebrew. "Is the one God sent me to be a ruler and deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush?" Moses had a purpose. And it for sure didn't seem like he would accomplish that purpose that God had intended when he fled and went into the mountains because the people had rejected him as a leader. You know, when it came to his brothers, we can literally say they rejected him. And throughout all of his life, he could have looked back and recognized that all of the promise that he was hearing from his father, all of the promise that he was getting from these dreams, he was rejected. And he was not going to make an impact for the things of God like perhaps he thought he would. There are times in our life to where life has been unfair, to where mistreatment has come our way, and we have found ourselves with broken dreams, broken path, and a life that, well, it's really not being carried out in the ways that we thought it would when we were eager and excited and zealous for the things of God. Joseph was rejected, but now he's the deliverer of his brothers. Moses was rejected, but now he would become the deliverer of the people just like God had purposed. Jesus was rejected by the people when he came to reveal the Messiah was here. But there'll be a second time in which He'll come back to earth. And when He comes back to earth, He'll deliver all those who love His name. All those that follow in His footsteps. All those that understand the love of God through Jesus Christ. And He'll deliver us home to the promised land. Forgiveness brings freedom. Forgiveness brings a picture of understanding the love of God. And life itself, we may discover great disappointment. I know we've been reading just glimpses of the life of Job as we've been on the front porch the last several gatherings that we've had. But isn't he also an incredible example of an individual that we have a picture of him in having great success by the world standards? But it was not the world standards that brought him success, it was God and His blessings. But in his test that Satan brought before God, all of those were removed. And just about every form of mistreatment that an individual can go through, Job suffered. And yet he never let go of the fact that he had favor with God. And though his friends may have encouraged him to blame, and though his friends encouraged him to curse God, he never would. And the only glimpse that we have at the end is God blessed him even fourfold. But from the beginning of the book to the end of the book, that's what the world likes to focus on. But look at the chapters in between. He continued to hold on to the promises of God and continued to hold on to what he knew about God. And his faithfulness, his long-suffering, his patience, that he demonstrated a life to where he never ever felt like that God did not care for him. Wherever you are in your path, that it may be that the world all around you challenges your faith and your devotion to God. It's important for you to recognize that whatever is going on in your life, it may very well be that God has purpose, God has you placed exactly where you need to be, because there is somebody in your life that needs His love. There is somebody in your life, as Darren prayed tonight, that while it is time and while it is today, they need deliverance from their sin. Right now, you are the greatest example that God has placed in their life to demonstrate a life of love, a life of forgiveness, and a life of purpose. And so when you see God, you may recognize that the path that you have taken, that maybe you've blamed some individuals for all of the curves and all of the detours, when all along, it was not the evil that changed your life. It was God. And God placed you somewhere right now where you can make a difference. I would tell you absolutely. But the choice is yours. The choice is love. The choice is forgiveness. The choice is being set free and showing the beauty of Jesus Christ in somebody's life while it is today. Whatever it is that's keeping you from having fellowship with God, sin, won't you repent of it? Won't you take it away as the barrier that it can be for you not to see the purpose of God and what He fully carries out through your life, the great work, the great purpose, the blessing that you need to be. Repent of your sin. Come to Him and experience full forgiveness. If we can help you do that now, won't you come while together we sing with Rodney?